Tonight's shiur is continuing with the theme of the shiurim from the last 2 weeks. The title of the shiur tonight is Stories from the Gemara, an Attractive Rabbi. So tonight the shiur is going to focus on another set of stories from the Gemara that seem to have an anti-religious feel to them. But really the Gemara is very honest and it's trying to teach us an idea about Torah, a deeper idea about Torah and presenting these stories. So the stories are going to focus on Rav Yochanan, which we touched on 2 weeks ago when we had shiur on Yisurin Shel Ava. So there is an allusion to the idea that Rav Yochanan was very attractive. So we're going to look at the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia and try to see what this idea of Rav Yochanan's attractiveness is and what the concept the Gemara is trying to teach us. So we'll start with source number one. Source number one is the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, and it says as follows: Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ana Ishtari Mishapira Yushalayim." So Rashi in source number two, Ishtari Nosarti. I am left over from the beautiful people that lived in Yerushalayim. So right away, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about his good looks. He says, "I am one of those who's left over from the beauty." The beautiful people of Yerushalayim. Haman debay mechse shufrei de Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara explains, whoever wants to see the beauty of Rav Yochanan, Rashi, look at shufrei. And source number two, line number two, shufrei zihurure toaro v'kirin panav. If you want to see the his countenance, his the light of his face. So if you want to see that, what do you do? Haman debay mechse shufrei de Rav Yochanan. Back in source number one, nese kasa de chaspa. Take a silver cup. Mi besalki, from the silversmith when it's glowing hot. Rashi, look in Rashi in source number two. Mi besilki, three lines down. Keshi yotze mi besa uman shuutsahu of mimari lahavesh. So if you want to see the beauty of Rav Yochanan, take a silver cup that had just come out of the hot glowing, and then it says vinimlia partsida deramona sumka. So take the seeds of a red pomegranate and fill it. V'nedarle klila devarda sumka lepume v'nosve ben shimsha letula. And then take some roses and put them around the lip of the cup and place the cup in between the shade and the sun and the shade. And then he says, Hahu zeharure, that is a reference to the light of Rav Yochanan, the beauty of Rav Yochanan. Look at Rashi. He says, Beisilke baloso mina esh, four lines down in source number two, when it comes out of the fire, that heat, and when it's heated up, so partside garin, and take seeds of red pomegranate, vinedarle klila, so venu safa lefiv save shel veret edom, and also take red roses and put them around the top of this cup, and then if you put it in between the shade and the sun, you'll see ziharure, dinafki mine alpne aretz, you'll see the light that hits the ground. That is the light, that is Rav Yochanan, that's the beauty of Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara is giving us this explanation that first Rav Yochanan says, I am what is left over of the beautiful people of Yerushalayim, and the Gemara explains how you would try to imagine and see the beauty of Rav Yochanan, and it describes this elaborate scene where you take a glowing hot silver cup, you put in red pomegranate seeds, you fill the top up with red roses, and then you put it in between the sun and the shade, and the light that it gives off is somewhat similar to the beautiful light of Rav Yochanan's face. Okay? So the Gemara says, Aini, is this so? Was Rav Yochanan really this beautiful? Va'amar mar, shufrei d'Rav Kahana, me'ein shufrei d'Rabbi Abahu. So there's a Gemara that questions the beauty of Rav Yochanan. How beautiful, how good-looking was he? How attractive? So there's a statement that says that Rav Kahana's beauty was the beauty of Rav Abahu, and shufrei de Rav Avahu me'ein shufrei de Yaakov Avinu. And the beauty, the attractiveness of Rav Avahu was to the level of Yaakov, shufrei de Yaakov Avinu me'ein shufrei de Adam Rishon. And Yaakov was almost as beautiful as Adam Rishon. V'ilu Rav Yochanan lo kachashiv le. But that statement never mentions Rav Yochanan. So if Rav Yochanan was so beautiful, he should have been mentioned in this grouping of beautiful people in the world. So the Gemara's question is, he wasn't included. So how do we know how beautiful Rav Yochanan was? So the Gemara says, Shiny Rav Yochanan, the Hadras Panim lo Havile. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Yochanan's different. He doesn't fit into those categories of beauty because he doesn't have Hadras Panim. Rashi says, Hadras Panim, it's the last line in source number two, Zakein. He didn't have a beard. Okay, so it's a strange Gemara. The Gemara starts off, just to summarize, the Gemara, there's three parts. The Gemara, first part is that Rav Yochanan says that he is from the beautiful people of Yerushalayim. And then the second part is that the Gemara gives us this image of how we're supposed to imagine how beautiful he was by taking this silver cup and putting red seeds in it and roses on top of it and putting it in between the shade and the sun and the shade. And then the last idea is that although he was beautiful, he wasn't included in this group of beautiful people because he didn't have a beard. So we'll have to understand. So obviously there's a lot of questions on this piece, but let's just get all the facts. But the main questions are, what's the purpose of teaching us about Rav Yochanan's beauty, and why is this relevant to a person who's learning Gemara? Meaning, the Gemara's purpose is to teach us lessons and ideas and concepts about the truth of the Torah, and this seems to be totally unnecessary. So why do we have to know about Rav Yochanan's beauty? So that's really the main question. So if you look in the Tosfos in source number 3, let's just get a couple of facts cleared up, and then we'll try to delve into it. So Tosfos on this Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ana Ishtari Mishapir Yerushalayim. I am a survivor left over from the beautiful individuals that lived in Yerushalayim. So Rav Yochanan achar churban harbe haya. So Rav Yochanan didn't live in the time of the Churban. He lived many years after the Churban. So he wasn't a contemporary of the destruction of Yerushalayim. He didn't live in that area. Ela klomar ishtairi mimishpachtam. He's saying that he's a descendant of those who lived in the time of the Churban in Yerushalayim, who were very beautiful. So again, so what's the Gemara trying to teach us about Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yochanan is making the statement that his family was beautiful and he's a survivor, he's a relative of those who used to live in Yerushalayim who were also beautiful. And then he says, Ulafisha Hisker of Yochanan, Shaya Mishuna Mishar Bnei Adam, Bidavarachad Hisker Gam Shaya Mishuna Biyofi. So Tosus explains that the Gemara is in context, that before this Gemara, the Gemara explains that Rav Yochanan was unique and different. And now the Gemara is going on to explain that he also was Mishuna Biyofi. He was particularly beautiful, good-looking. He was a handsome rabbi. So the Gemara is trying to teach us that he's a handsome rabbi. But the first question is on the first point, which is, what's the relevance of the fact that he was a descendant of those who used to live in Yerushalayim in the time of the Churban and before that, who were very good-looking? Why is that relevant to us? What can we learn from that? The second point that we're going to just get to, and then we'll delve into it, is this idea that he didn't have a beard. So Rashi says he didn't have a beard, but the Marsha argues with Rashi over here, and he says like this. Look at the Marsha in source number 4. He says, "Shiny Rav Yochanan de hadras panim lo havaleb. Kiperish Rashi hadras panim zaken ad kan lashona." So Rashi explains that Rav Yochanan lacked a beard. The Yoser nira lefarish de yafe toar lo hava el yafe mare hava sheshnei dvarim heim kiperish Rashi parshas vayetze. So another explanation he likes better, the Marsha says, is that there are two parts to a person's attractiveness. There's something called Yafei Toar and Yafei Mara. So he says that Rav Yochanan was a Yafei Mara, but he wasn't Yafei Toar. So he says that Rashi gives this explanation in Vayetze. So let's look at Rashi and Vayetze, and then we'll try to define the difference between the Marsha and Rashi, and then we'll explain the purpose of the Gemara. So look at Bereishis, look in source number 6. So where is Rashi? Where does Rashi explain this idea of Yafei Torah and Yafei Mara? So the answer is by Leah. It says, Ve'inei Leah Rakos, Rachel Haisa Yifas Torah Yifas Mara. So Leah had her some say beautiful eyes, some say her eyes were teary, that they were weak. So Rachel Haisa Yifas Torah Yifas Mara. She was both Yifas Torah and Yifas Mara. So Rashi says, Toar, what is Toar? Hutsura sapartsof. It's the shape of a person's face. Lashon yitareu beseret. So Toar means the shape. Mare hu ziv klester. Mare is a certain shine that your face gives off, a certain, a certain appeal that your face gives off. So those are two different things. So the Marsha says that Rav Yochanan, when it says, the hadras panam lohavile, it means that he was yafei mare, that he gave off a shine, a clear glow. But he wasn't Yafei Toar. He wasn't beautiful in the shape of his face. So what does this mean? What's the machlokes between the Marsha and Rashi over here? How can we explain the machlokes before we understand the deeper point? So I think the machlokes is that there's two types of... The machlokes is, what type of beauty did Rav Yochanan have? He didn't have a classic beauty. The Gemara says that he wasn't included in that grouping. So what was he lacking? What did he have and what was he lacking? So Rashi says that he didn't have a beard. So what's the idea of a beard? So a beard makes a man look more mature. There's an idea of maturity, and attractiveness is oftentimes a feature of maturity when it comes to a man. So what it's trying to teach us is that Rav Yochanan had a youthfulness to him. So he was beautiful, but more in a youthful way, not in a mature way. He didn't have that, you know, there's certain celebrities that look better when they get older. Certain men, when they age, they look better because there's a certain maturity that is associated with them. But with Rav Yochanan, he always had a youthful quality. So according to Rashi, the beauty of Rav Yochanan was tied to his youthful characteristic, that he always looked young. He didn't have a beard. But according to the Marsha is saying that there's two types of beauty. There's a beauty of a model, and there's a beauty of a movie star. I was thinking about this example. So the beauty of a model is a model has a certain symmetry to his or her face, and there's usually typically... I think they say that a person who has a symmetrical face is considered having a very attractive face. But then there are celebrities out there that are like different types. They have different shaped faces, and people are appealed to. There's an appeal of them, not just because of the way they look, but also because of their attitude, their character. So there's a lot of different factors to attractiveness. So the idea that the Marsha is saying is that Rav Yochanan's attractiveness wasn't physical. He wasn't a model. He didn't have the perfect symmetry, the perfect shape. But he had the celebrity attractiveness. He gave off a certain appeal when he was speaking. He had a glowing face, meaning there was an appeal to him. He might have fit a certain type, but he wasn't inherently like a model. He wasn't inherently symmetrical and attractive in that sense. So the machlokes between Rashi and the Marsha at the end of the Gemara is, what was Rav Yochanan's attractiveness? Was it his youthful quality that he didn't have a beard? That's how I'm defining Rashi, that the lack of beard is an idea in youthful beauty. Or was it that it wasn't that he, how was he different? He didn't have the physical characteristics of beauty, but he had a certain appeal in the way that his face looked and the way that he spoke. So all those elements gave him a certain appeal. But nevertheless, still, the question is, what is the purpose of the Gemara teaching us about the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan? Why do we have to know that he was very good looking? So, and what's the connection to the descendants of Yerushalayim? So now we can get to an idea here. So I think I was looking up this Gemara, and there's an Acharon that brought in another Gemara. The Acharon was the Pesach Inayim. So he brings in another Gemara to try to explain. He doesn't give the same answer, but he tries to explain what our Gemara is trying to get at. So there's an interesting Gemara in Tainus, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. And this is where I think it's critical. So it says, V'amar of Oshia. So Rav Oshia is, they're discussing this pasuk that compares Torah to different liquids. So the Gemara goes on, V'amar of Oshia, Lama Nimshlu Divrei Torah L'Shlosha Mashkin Halala. Why is the Torah compared, there's another story here, compared to three different liquids. B'mayim uv'yayin v'chalav. So the Torah is compared to water, wine, and milk. So why are those chosen? Dichsiv heavy cold samei l'chul amayim. Dichsiv l'chu shivru v'ichlu l'chu shivru b'lo kesef lo mechir yayin v'chalav. So there's two mentionings. There's one of mayim, and then there's yayin and chalav, and it's a mention of Torah. It means anyone who's thirsty, go to water, which is a reference to Torah. And it also says, go buy and eat. Go buy even if you have no money, and even if there's no price, yayin and chalav. So it's a reference to Torah. So Torah is accessible. So why is it compared to that? So lomar l'cha, to teach you, mashlosha mashkin alado ein miskaimen elav apachlo shebekelim. So these three liquids can only exist in the pachlo shebekelim, in the lowest types of earthenware. Af divrei Torah ein miskaimen elav misha daito shefala. So too, Torah can only remain and it can only exist within somebody who is lowly, who has, just like you store these liquids in a lowly earthenware vessel. I'll show you the story after this. So too, the Torah can only be stored in an individual who's lowly, who's shfala, who has a low spirit, a person who's not egocentric. And the Gemara goes on, it says, Kida amrle barate de Kesar Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. So the daughter of the Kesar, of the Caesar, said to Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, E chachma mefora b'chli mechuar. So she said, what great wisdom in such an ugly vessel. So she was referring to Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. So he was the opposite of Rav Yochanan. He was an ugly guy, not good looking. So she was commenting to him, wow, you're such a chacham, but you're so ugly, basically. It's a chachma in such an ugly vessel. So Amar La, so what did he respond? He was very sharp. He said, Avicha Rami Chamra b'mane de pachra. So does your father store his wine in earthenware vessels? Rashi, b'mane de pachra. Look down in the bottom Rashi, in source number 8. B'derech schok Amar. It was a joke. Umarami is ma'ato merit li v'alo avicha nosin yayin b'kelem mechularen shalcheres. He was basically saying, your father puts his wine in this lowly type of earthenware vessel. So he was responding to her. She was making fun of the fact that he was ugly, yet he was so smart. He had so much wisdom. And he's saying, look, you see the same example from your father. So Amrle, she said back to him, Ella b'may nirme, what should he put it in? What should he put the wine in? So Amrle, he said, Atun de chashviso, you're so special, you're such an important person. Ramu b'mane dehave v'chaspa. So why don't you store your wine in silver and gold? So Azlav Amrle la'avua, she told her father to do this. Rami al-Khamra b'mani da'hav v'chasba v'takif. So they kept the wine in gold and silver, and what happened was it became sour. It became bad. Asu v'amrule, so she said, they said, Asu v'amrule, amr la'levrate man amr la'chachi. So they said, who told you to do this? So amrule, Rav Yishua ben Chananya told me. The Kiryuhu, call him here. So the Caesar called Rav Yishua ben Chananya. Amrle, am I amrus lahachi? Why do you tell her to do this, to put the wine in the bad vessels? Amrle, ki hechi da amrle. I was just responding to the way that she was speaking to me. So amri la, v'ha ika shfiri de gamiri. So they said, aren't there those who are good looking who learn? Meaning it was a question to him. So he answers, I havu sani tfei havu gamiri. So there's a difference of opinion, but if you go to the next page on Rashi, so it says, Iyavusani, two lines up from the bottom, Osam Naam Shehem Chachamim, if those who are good looking that were Chachamim, Tfei Havu Gemiri, were ugly, if they were ugly, Shi Yafshar Lenoa Lahashbil Daito Uvali De Shechcha. If a person is really good looking, so they can't, it's difficult for them to be lowly, and therefore they won't remember the Torah, and the Torah will be lost. So his answer, so basically the story was that the Gemara says that the Torah is like wine and liquid and all these liquids and chalav and yain. It's like wine, chalav, and mayim that you need to store it in lowly vessels. So too, Torah is only stored properly in a person who's shvala, who's very low. So then there's this story about the Caesar's daughter who was making fun of how ugly Rav Yishua ben Chananya was, and his response was, try to, you know, put your wine in gold and silver and see what happens. So what happened was that it soured. So then they ask him at the end, but there are people who are attractive who do learn, and he says, yeah, but if they were uglier, they would learn more. You know, they would be better off because it's very difficult. He says, "Ef shar l'noa l'hashbol daito." A person who's good looking, it's hard for him to be lowly, to really lower himself. The Tosos over there, we'll define this, but the Tosos says in source number 9, a little bit different than Rashi. He says, "Ihavu sani havi chachim etfe perish imayu sonim hayofi." If they hate their beauty, havu tamidei chacham yoser, then they would be even bigger tamidei chacham. So his response is that anybody who's good looking, if they really, it's almost like more difficult for them to be a chacham, because a man who's good looking, who's handsome, so he's going to put his energy into his attractiveness, and it's going to take away from his ability to focus all his energy on chachma, on wisdom. So what's the purpose of this Gemara now? So we have all these facts. We saw before that it's machlokes between Rashi and the Marshal, what the nature of his beauty was. But what's the purpose of our Gemara here? So the Pesach Inayim brought in this other Gemara to show you that there's an opposite approach in the Gemara. The opposite approach, which I think people associate more commonly with the rabbi, is you have an unattractive guy who basically learns more and can keep the Torah better than an attractive guy. Because an attractive guy, what the Gemara says, is it's very difficult for an attractive person to take his energies away from his looks and focus on learning. And it's much easier for a person who's unattractive to do that. But what's the purpose of our Gemara? So I think there's an idea, there's a deep idea in our Gemara, in the first part of the story of our Gemara, which is that the Gemara is trying to teach us that the concept that, the first question was, what's the relationship to Yerushalayim? So I think the idea of Yerushalayim and the beauty of Yerushalayim and that he was a descendant is showing you that it's not an ideal that a rabbi or a chacham should be unattractive. it seems like in the proper situation, in the proper scenario, i.e. in Yerushalayim, in a city that's close to the Beis HaMikdash, and in a city where there's Hashgacha, and it's... So in that type of scenario, in that type of environment, it's really a good thing. It's not a bad thing. In fact, part of the role of the Jewish people and the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to, it's supposed to have an effect on the nations of the world. It's supposed to have an effect that the nations of the world are supposed to look at the Jews, the Jewish people, and be attracted to Judaism and see the greatness of Judaism. So the beauty of a person or the beauty of a group of people could be a benefit. It could be an ideal. So I think the Gemara is trying to show us that Ana Ishtari Mishapir Yerushalayim is showing you that in an ideal society, the society of Yerushalayim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that being attractive was actually not, there's no negatives to it. It was actually fine. There was nothing, people could still learn and they can still attach themselves to Chachma in that type of environment. And it wasn't, in fact, it wasn't at all a detraction, the fact that they were all good looking. In fact, it's a benefit. So in the ideal society, you want attractive people learning Torah. And Yerushalayim was the perfect environment for that. So Rav Yochanan is trying to teach us that idea, that a person shouldn't think that there's this ideal of unattractiveness in the Torah, that the Torah places a value on that. No, it's the opposite. There's a value to attractiveness, and in the right society and in the right environment, it could be very good, it could be great, it could be very beneficial. And the purpose of the story here about Rav Yochanan is that he's trying to show you that Rav Yochanan was able, he was capable of being a big Talmid Chacham, and it goes against the other Gemara in Tainus, that he was capable of being a great Talmid Chacham and suppressing the need to put all this energy into his looks, despite the fact that he was such an attractive man, he was such an attractive person. So the purpose of our Gemara is that a person shouldn't think or shouldn't have a misconception that the Torah can only exist in an ugly person, that the Torah can only exist in a person. You know, we have these stereotypes in our mind of what rabbis are supposed to look like, and the Gemara is trying to show you the opposite, that the Torah doesn't have this ideal that people should be ugly. There's no ideal like that. In fact, it's the opposite. Beauty is something that could have a positive effect. And not only that, a person could be a big Talmid Chacham despite the fact that he's tremendously attractive. But I think that it's going against the average person, the typical person's stereotypical view of what a Talmid Chacham is supposed to look like and be like. So I think that's what the Gemara is trying to show us. And this is not just, you see from the Gemara also that Adam, Arishon, and Yaakov had the same type of beauty. So I think I've heard an idea in the past that the purpose of the beauty of, let's say, Yaakov and Avraham was in order to attract people to Torah and learning. So there could be a tremendous benefit to being attractive. So the Gemara is trying to show you that you shouldn't have this stereotype. So we have the two conflicting Gemaras, but they're not really conflicting. On the one hand, for most people, when you're unattractive, it means that you're capable of taking energy away from the way you look and putting it into Torah. But there are people, there are individuals like Rav Yochanan who are capable of being tremendously attractive and yet it not affecting his ability to learn at all. So I think that's what the Gemara is trying to show us. Okay? So there's another interesting story about Rav Yochanan tied to his beauty that we're going to take up right after this. It's right in the next Gemara. It's in the same daf, but the next piece of the Gemara. And the Gemara says as follows. It's source number 10. So Gemara says, Rav Yochanan haba azil v'yosef ashari tefila. So the next story is that Rav Yochanan, this beautiful guy, good-looking guy, he used to sit outside the mikvah. Amar, ki salkan benos Yisrael mitvilas mitzvah lefagubi. He said that when the women, the Jewish girls, come out of the mikvah, and they encounter me, so they'll have children that are as good looking as me, Gemiri Oraisa Kavasi, and also learn Torah like me. So Rav Yochanan used to sit outside the mikvah, and he would just sit there, and he wanted the women to encounter him before they went home, so that they would have in mind that they should have children like him, that they should have children as beautiful as him, and that learn Torah like him. So Amr Le Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan say, Lo Mistafi Mar Me'ena Bisha, was Rav Yochanan not concerned about Ayin Hara? So Amr Lehu, so he said, Ana Mizar de Yosef Kasina. So Rav Yochanan says, I come from the descendants of Yosef. De Lo Shalta Be'ena Bisha, Yosef, the tribe of Yosef, and Yosef himself, was protected from the Ayin Hara. And we'll explain all this. Dechsev Ben Paras Yosef Ben Paras Ale Ayin V'Amr Avahu Al Tikre Ale Ayin Ale Ole Ayin. Okay, so one thing is that one pasuk or one possibility is that Yosef was protected from that pasuk. Rav Yosi bar Chanina Amar Mehacha. He learns it out from here. V'yid gularo bekerav aretz. You should have many children with amongst the land. Ma dagim shebiyam mayim machasim osam. So fish are covered by water. V'in ayin shaletes mehen. So the eye can't govern them, take control over them. Af zaro shel Yosef in ayin shaletes mehen. So too the descendants of Yosef are unaffected by ayin hara. So a very strange, bizarre story in the Gemara. First of all, what's he doing outside the mikvah, Rav Yochanan? And furthermore, I mean, nowadays, if this happened, you know, the person would go to jail, they'd probably be arrested. But in the time of the Gemara, apparently Rav Yochanan would sit outside the mikvah. So what was the purpose of doing that? Why would Rav Yochanan sit outside the mikvah and encounter these women right after the mikvah? And the second question is, what's this Ayin Hara stuff? What was the response that he's from Yosef? How is he protected? What is the Ayin Hara here? And how is he protected from it because he was a descendant of Yosef? So this is the second story. So let's look in the Tosos and the Ritva, and then we'll try to give an answer. So the Tosos says, Yosef Ashari Tfilo. So there's a question. How could he sit outside the mikvah? The Hadar Mina Ba'arve Psachim, it says in Psachim, in the 10th parak, Haiman de Pagi be'issa be'idan zetzalakt mitfilas mitzvah achasta le ruach zenunim. So they say that it's dangerous for a man to encounter a woman because it'll affect him and he'll be attracted to the woman and it might create a situation of znus. So the Gemara says, so how could he do this? You're not supposed to sit outside the mikvah. So Hainu kishapo ge'aba aval Rabbi Yochanan shay Yosef sham bekeva einzu pegia. So that's only if it's encountering, but he was just sitting there, bikvias, he would always sit there. That was like his spot. So it wasn't that he was going there to meet somebody or he wasn't encountering anybody. They were just seeing him and he was just sitting there. Inami hasam kshipogea kishaola ba'oda aruma minanar. The other possibility is that you can't do that if they're naked. But here they went into the mikvah and then he only saw them after they were fully clothed. So he didn't see them when they were naked, so it's not a problem. So still, but what's the purpose of this? Why is Rav Yochanan doing this? Why would he sit there when the women were coming out of the mikvah and tell them, or have so that they should have in mind that they should have children that are good-looking like him and learn Torah like him? Okay, so that's the question. So one other, the Ritva gives a different answer, how he could sit outside the mikvah. He says, Yasev Ashari Tfila, V'hadam Rav Psachim, Haiman Depaga, Be'issa, Be'idna, Desalik Mitfila, Ochezes Ruach Znunim, Hanimili be'inish da'alma v'lokar v'yochanan shi'yitzro b'yado v'damyan aleha kekayich yura v'zeb pasher. So the other answer is that he didn't have any, he looked at the women like they were white geese. There's another Gemara that says Rav Gidel used to teach halacha, hilchos tvila, right outside the mikvah, and the Gemara asks the same question in source number 13, and it says, Amr luhu damyan v'ape kikakech yura. Rashi says, kikakech yura evozum avanim. So the women, I think the Gemara is saying that the women were to him like white geese, meaning he didn't really have an attraction to the women. There was no attraction to the women. He wasn't doing it, you know, to see the women or to look at them, but it was for their benefit. So what exactly is he doing here? What's he doing outside of the mikvah to tell the women, oh, by the way, hopefully your children will be as good looking and learn Torah like me? Like I said, nowadays, if this happened, for sure, the person would go to jail. So they'd be arrested. So what exactly was he doing there? What's the idea that the Gemara is trying to convey to us about what Rav Yochanan was trying to teach to these women? Okay, anybody have a possibility before? So one possibility is some achronim say that it was like the story of Yaakov with the sheep. So Yaakov put the sticks with the, remember the story in Vayetze? When Yaakov takes the sticks and he cuts out pieces of it and he puts it in front of the sheep and then they have the sheep have spots on them. So there's some achronim say that the Gemara is in line with that idea, that somehow they used to believe that when a woman would have relations right after the mikvah, that's when she's most fertile. And if she would have him in mind, Rav Yochanan, it would somehow affect the children, that the children would be better looking and be bigger talmidei chachamim. But that seems to be a little odd. I mean, we don't really hold of that nowadays. We don't believe in that. We believe more in genetics and the biology. So what exactly, can we learn the Gemara in our framework without saying that, without saying that he understood the science that way? Is there a different idea that he was trying to convey to the women as they were coming out of the mikvah here? So I think there's an idea here similar to the last point, because the Gemaras are right one after the other. I split them up because, you know, I wanted to show you just, I split up the two stories, but they're really one after the other. So what's the Gemara trying to teach us? I think the Gemara is trying to teach us that when you have children, I think there's an idea here. When you have children, people tend to project based on the way a child looks and the way a child acts. They try to project onto them, you know, what they're going to be when they grow up. And that happens a lot. If your child looks like you, sometimes you project that they're going to do the same thing that you do. They're going to be exactly like you. But when people have, as I said before, people have stereotypes and they have certain images in their mind of, you know, what is an athlete and what is a Talmid Chacham and what is, you know, a model. All these things are stereotypical, and even parents have that. And I think what he's trying to teach them is that they shouldn't, meaning they shouldn't, there shouldn't be any stereotypical hindrance in terms of when you're raising kids, in terms of how you want to raise them and what your goals are for them. Meaning, have children as good looking as I am and as learned as I am. Meaning, you shouldn't, if a child is good looking, let's say, and they're super attractive, it shouldn't take away from your perspective of them being a Talmid Chacham. He's trying to show them, Rav Yochanan is trying to show them that that's not a detraction from being a Talmid Chacham. You shouldn't peg them in a certain light if they look a certain way. But rather, this is an ideal. You should look at it as, oh, if your child is exceptionally handsome or good looking, or your child is beautiful, you should view that not as a deterrent to learning or teaching them, but you should view it as an asset in terms of them learning Torah. So I think Rav Yochanan was trying to affect, because he knew that the women were thinking about children and they just came home from the mikvah and they're most fertile. He was trying to affect their viewpoint, the way that their image of what a Talmid Chacham is, so that when they actually had children and they raised them, they wouldn't have negative stereotypical perspectives on their children, which would hinder their ability to learn Torah. So he's trying to show them, have children as good looking as me and learn it as me, meaning the fact that your child is handsome, or I'm talking about a male child, or even a female child, shouldn't affect how you view them vis-a-vis learning Torah and being a Talmid Chacham or a learned woman. So that's what he's trying to teach them. He's trying to teach them a parenting tip, that you shouldn't project onto your kids your images, your image of what a Talmid Chacham looks like, or, you know, what this type of, even we do that with when it comes to a lot of things, you know, when the person looks like this parent, that parent, and then you start projecting onto them what they're going to be when they grow up, that's really negative. So he's trying to show them that you shouldn't let that detract or take away from your ability to achieve certain goals in learning. The last point in the shir is this idea of ayin hara, ein abisha. So what is ayin hara? Does anybody know what the ayin hara is? What is our idea of ayin hara, or a more, I guess, rational perspective of ayin hara? So I believe that the idea of ayin hara is an idea of damage, psychological damage, that when people look at you a certain way, it could have damage, it could damage you. When they perceive you a certain way, it could affect you psychologically. When they look at you a certain way. So the question was the Gemara is asking, wasn't Rav Yochanan afraid of the idea that people would start talking about him, they would start looking at him in a certain way, and it would have a negative effect on him? People would be jealous of him. So wasn't he afraid by doing this? He was putting himself in a situation where he was clearly open to criticism and damage, psychological damage. So wasn't he afraid of that? Why did he still do that? He should be afraid of the fact that people are going to start talking about him. Why is he sitting outside the mikvah? And people are going to, and the men, the husbands, are going to be upset. And there's going to be a lot of judgment on him, and that could have a negative effect. It can make a person very depressed, unhappy. So wasn't he concerned about the Ein Abisha here? So the Gemara answers two answers. Also, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, it also sounds like
he's
keeping his mind science, like he would be, people would attribute that to
negative, yeah, that he has like a negative
motive.
Yes, yeah. So people might attribute that he has a negative motive. So what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is that he's from Yosef, and they give two psukim. So because he's from Yosef, he's protected from the Ein Hara, or Ein Abisha. So look in Rashi. Let's try to analyze that. There's two answers. So Rashi is in source number, or the pasuk is source number 15. It says, "Bein paras Yosef, bein paras le'ayin, benos tzada le'shor." So Rashi says, "Bein paras ben chen." Ben paras means that he was charming. I think we did this. I gave a shiur on this many years ago, but he was very charming. He was ben chen. Chen is charm or grace. Ben paras le'ayin, chanu natoy le'ayin haroeso. Anybody who saw him had like a certain, was charmed by him. They had a certain perspective intrinsically, and they were charmed by him. So one idea is that Rav Yochanan had a certain, we said before that he was beautiful, and he had a certain light and glowing nature. But the other idea is that he wasn't afraid of people ascribing negative motives to him, or he wasn't afraid of damage. Why? Because he knew that people had a certain perspective of him, that when they would see him, they automatically were charmed by him. So one idea was, that's the benefit or the idea that he's from Yosef, that he had a certain quality about him that he was able, that when other people saw him, they never ascribed the negativity towards him. So he had a certain quality. Some people are like that, that whenever you see them, they just seem innocent, you know? So he had that. He had that quality, and that came from Yosef. The other possibility is the Medrash. The Medrash says, Ben paras Yosef, melamed she'ein ayin hara sholetes bizarro, mepnei shehechvias imo, mepnei esav harasha. The other possibility is that Yosef was granted this protection because he hid his mother from Esav. So what do we see from there? Is it magical? No. We see that Yosef was very smart when it came to understanding the view and how people looked at other people. He could pick up on people very subtly. So he picked up on Esav, and he knew that Esav was trying to look at his mother. So he hid her. So what do you see? You see that Yosef was particularly perceptive when it came to the view of other people. So the other possibility is, why is Zaro Shel Yosef protected from Ayin Hara? Either you say that he had a certain quality that people always looked at him as being innocent and they never ascribed it to him, or he was smart enough to know when to avoid situations that were dangerous, that were psychologically dangerous. So the same thing over here. Rav Yochanan knew when it was appropriate and when it was inappropriate, when people would view him in a certain way and when they wouldn't. So he was very intelligent about that, and that he got from Yosef, that idea of being able to navigate how other people perceive you. The last idea is Ma Dagam Shibiyam Mai Mechasim Osam. So that's Rashi. So the other possibility of why he was protected from Ayin Hara, it's Machlokas in the Gemara. Either he had a certain, we said that there's two ways to learn the first idea in his protection. Either he was able to navigate and subtly understand when people were looking at him a certain way and not. Or the other possibility we said in the first answer of Ben Paras is that he had a certain face, that people would look at him and they would ascribe innocence to him. But the last idea is the idea of Yidgul Arov. So that's an idea that fish are protected because of the environment they're in. So somehow they're able to protect themselves externally from others. So the idea of Ayin Hara not affecting Zaro Shel Yosef is that the concept is that it's almost like they have a barrier towards it, meaning they're thick-skinned. There's an idea of being thick-skinned. You have almost an environment around you, surrounding you, that prevents you from being affected by the Ayin Hara. Just like Dagim have an environment of water that protect them, so too, Zaro Shel Yosef are thick-skinned people, and they're people that are, even if other people ascribe motive to them and are negative towards them, it rolls off them. They have thick skin. It doesn't really affect them at all. So that's the second possibility. So the Gemara gives an answer to Rav Yochanan, why Rav Yochanan was able to do this. Either he had a certain type of face that when people look at him, they were charmed by him, or the other possibility is the Medrash. It says that he was smart enough to know when others would perceive him a certain way and when they wouldn't. And the second possibility is that he was thick-skinned, that he had the ability to avoid or to be unaffected by the Ayin Hara, by this negativity, by this jealousy, or even ascribing negative motives, that he was able to be unaffected. So that's the Gemara's answer. So let me just summarize. So that's the end of the shiur. So just let me summarize the shiur. So the shiur is about the attractiveness of Rav Yochanan, and there's really two parts. There's the first part, which is describing how beautiful he was, and we're trying to understand why the Gemara has to teach us this. So we looked at it in contrast to the other Gemara in Tainus, which talks about how Chachma is stored better in an ugly or lowly vessel. and how a person who's good-looking tends to have more difficulty with learning and at least maintaining his chachma, because his energy is drawn to his looks and his handsomeness. So the chiddush of our Gemara was that that's not a necessity, that you see that in an ideal society, i.e. Yerushalayim, it really isn't a bad thing to be attractive, and back then they had an attractive society that were able to learn. So in the right environment, it's an ideal. And second of all, Rav Yochanan was able to overcome all this. He didn't have any inability, it didn't affect his ability to learn at all, the fact that he was good-looking. And then the second point is the story with the tefillah. So one idea we said, which I disagree with, but some of the Achronim say that he was there because he wanted them to think about him when they were having relations, and that would affect the zera, the offspring. But I think from our perspective, from the modern perspective, maybe he was trying to teach them an idea in parenting, that they shouldn't, if they have a particularly attractive child, it shouldn't affect the way that they perceive the child's ability to achieve in Torah and learning. And he was trying to show them that you can be beautiful and you can learn Torah too, meaning don't let your preconceived ideas and misconceptions and stereotypes affect your children, your child raising, child rearing. And then finally, the last idea is the Ayin Hara idea, which is that Rav Yochanan had this ability to protect himself, and either he had a certain type of charm, or he was able to navigate, and he understood when other people were looking at him in a certain way, he understood when they were and when they weren't, or he was very thick-skinned, and it had really very little effect on him. So that's really the purpose of the Gemara, though, I think, which is the purpose of the Shir, is to try to show you that these stereotypes that we have of, you know, what a rabbi is supposed to look like, which a lot of people think they don't have, but a lot of people have, is not really accurate. The Gemara says that a person can be... There are some Gemaras that say that an individual is ugly and he's a big Talmud Chacham, but there are other Gemaras that talk about the beauty of Chazal, of different individuals, and there's no problem with that. There's no inherent defect in being, you know, like a model, a person who's a model, and yet being wise and being a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And you shouldn't let your perspective or your stereotypical image affect your respect or affect your perspective of what a person is. So that's the purpose of the Gemara. All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you.